Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back. Glad to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a great show. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say that. Beth Moodhart has a great show lined up for us today. And I'm playing along because she's the producer and she gets great guests for us like Bruce McClary, who is Vice President of Public Relations and External Affairs for National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC. Say that 10 times fast with marbles in your mouth. Good grief. All right. NFCC.org is the website. Now, Bruce is back to talk with us because I'm a fan of NFCC. They do some great things helping people with their credit and counseling them and helping them make smart choices about their money, budgeting, all kinds of good stuff. Bruce has been in the industry himself for 16 years. He's provided one-on-one financial counseling to thousands of consumers. He's trained counselors and financial educators. Basically, he's reached tens of thousands or more people through print and broadcast media. So we're very, very excited to have him back. And there's a lot of stuff going on that I'd love to get Bruce to give us some thoughts on and what NFCC is suggesting people think about. And there's a lot of subjects I'd love to bend Bruce's ear about. We'll start with something that's very timely, and that is preparing for the storm, preparing for what you need to do if we have a big emergency. If we have, say, for example, I don't know, a hurricane or something like that. So with that set up, Bruce, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be back. And I never thought I'd find myself doing a weather report on your show, right?
Well, listen, this just in from our Weather Center, Bruce McClary. Bruce, tell us what's going to happen.
Well, I'll tell you what I hope doesn't happen, which is, you know, a major disaster, a hurricane.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
It can happen any time during the year. But interestingly enough, early September officially marks the peak of hurricane season.
Okay.
So a lot of times it's quiet during the summer, then these things start churning up, and we get a lot of activity pushing through September into even in through October. And it's a good time to remind ourselves to be prepared for any type of natural disaster, not to mention hurricanes, but anything else that could possibly happen. And being financially prepared is a good strategy. It's good to have some steps in place to be financially prepared that go along with the other things that you do to have your disaster kit ready and to be ready to take action at a moment's notice, because these things can creep up on you. And it's not pleasant to think about what might happen if disaster strikes. But when you're not prepared with savings and all the right kind of insurance coverage, et cetera, there could be some serious consequences.
Well put, Bruce. And yes, you did sound like a weatherman with that report. I will agree. Actually, you know what, though? It's spot on, because, you know, there's some real basic stuff which we can talk about. And this is for everybody. You know, I know that your organization does a lot to help people just really, and you've got affiliated agencies all over the country. And people really need to, one way to budget, one way to be smart about our money is not to be in a position where we're having to do things, you know, in a desperate kind of scenario. It's the same with our banking. It's the same with, you know, paying our bills. It's the same with getting a loan. It's the same with travel. It's all these things all have the same theme running through them, which is being prepared and planning ahead. Dare I say, we look past the hood of our car. We need to plan ahead and not, you know, not be unrealistic and say, I'm going to plan the next 100 years. You know, we don't have to go that far, but, you know, simple things like you suggest, I know, you know, look, we know it's hurricane season. At least we have that in Florida, and it can affect other parts of the country, of course, as well. The Northeast is not immune to that either, because they've seen that with Hurricane Sandy. So, you know, what are some of the basic things people need to be thinking of, Bruce? Is it something as simple as making sure you've got gas in your car when you hear the announcements?
Yeah, that's one of the factors that you need to have in your mind, one of the things on your checklist. One of the first things we always encourage people to do, though, is check your insurance coverage, and do it long before the storm is even part of the weather forecast, or long before fire season starts in the West, or you know, any type of disaster hits. You want to make sure you have the right coverage, so speak to your insurance agent to understand the terms of your existing coverage and the deductible, and then determine if additional coverage is necessary for fires or flooding or any other type of of coverage that you might need to go along with your basic property insurance. It's sure. so important to be prepared there. And, you know, you certainly don't want to be overinsured, but you also don't want to be underinsured either. And I think you need to strike the right balance by thinking of where you live, what types of scenarios could take place where you live, and consider all those factors and just check with your agent. It's surprising how many people don't really fully understand how their existing insurance coverage protects them.
Or doesn't.
Or doesn't, right, or what gaps might be there. So it's very, very critical to have that conversation with the insurance agent. Do that first. And, of course, if a home is involved, if you're a homeowner, what you want to do is consider buying full replacement or replacement cost coverage instead of cash value for the single reason, really, that most of your personal household items depreciate in value over time. So having that full replacement cost coverage is probably the better option in most cases. And of course, if you're renting, you want to make sure you're properly covered with renter's insurance, because there could be damage to the place where you live.
Sure.
Things could be destroyed. Even personal property could be stolen. There could be looting or things like that that occur in the aftermath of a disaster. You want to make sure you're properly covered there. Insurance is very important.
Well put, Bruce. And, you know, one kind of comment that goes along with this is, you know, people scratch their heads and they go, well, you know, I got other things I want to pay for, Bruce. You know, I understand what you're saying. That's all smart talk, but I've got other things I'm spending my money on. I tell you what, I'll just wait till there's a storm, then I'll get my coverage.
Yeah, well, and there could be, you know, if you're calling up, especially if you're in the hours before a hurricane makes landfall, you may be out of luck. They may
yeah.
put a hold on your policy so that changes can't be made when there's an impending disaster. So you really don't want to roll the dice on that
yeah.
one. You want to make sure you have the right kind of coverage long before
right.
Something comes across.
Well, Bruce, I baited you on that question, I confess. Actually, there, from my previous career, when I worked for Brown & Brown Insurance, some 18 years ago now, they had a chart on the wall in their personal lines department that there literally was a map of the East Coast of the United States, and it had the rest of the country, but it was kind of focused on that one side. And there literally was a line that went vertically and horizontal, so latitude and longitude. And if the storm crossed that line, you couldn't bind or change, add to the coverage. So it is a real line, not in the sand, but in the ocean, that says you can't get past this. And once you do, nope. So the point is, you can't wait. You've got to. The best plans are the ones you make before you need the coverage, instead of waiting and trying to do it, you know, last minute.
Exactly. And then to accompany that insurance coverage, what you also want to do is make sure you have a full inventory of all of your personal belongings at a safe and secure offsite location. And it's easy to take pictures and videos, timestamp them, geotag them, upload them into a cloud server that you
sure.
can get to. And also make sure you have hard copies somewhere in a safe and dry location. It's very important, too, because it always helps make it easier to file a claim and keep you from having to rely on your memory when you're under all that stress and pressure after the disaster strikes. It's
Amen.
Better to have that in place. And also, equally important, make sure you have an evacuation plan in place if you have enough warning ahead of a disaster, especially in the case of a hurricane. You want to make sure you consider the cost of transportation, map out the most direct route, and make sure you have enough budgeted for the transportation costs necessary to get you to a safe place. And, of course, fill up the car before the storm is announced or before landfall is announced with the hurricane. Make sure you have the gas on hand, because if you're trying to fill up the tank during or after the storm, there are going to be long lines. There could be gas shortages, outages.
And they certainly wouldn't raise the price, Bruce. They wouldn't do that.
No.
Never do that.
Yeah, I say that sarcastically,
right.
firmly in cheek.
Yeah, $2 million, or wait, if you're thinking of getting a generator, get it now. Don't wait till they go through a modest price increase when there's a Category 5 hurricane off the coast.
Yeah.
Right?
Any major supplies you need, get it before the after-storm markup, which is inevitable in many cases.
That's right.
It's unfortunate that people are taking advantage of with price gouging afterwards. But you want to protect yourself by preparing in advance and having those equipment items ready, all the batteries, the generators, and the things in a safe and dry place stored where you can get to them. And you also want to make sure that you have access to ready cash. That's important. With the power outages and the things that happen during and after the storm, ATM machines are going to be down. People won't be able to accept credit cards. You'll be out of luck if you're relying on plastic. So you need to make sure you have cash stored in a place that's readily accessible and safe. And then, of course, you also want to make sure you have a safe deposit box with a lot of important documents that's in a safe place as well, because you want to have originals and copies of important papers at an offsite location in case something happens to your home. And so, of course, you want to make sure you have the important medical records, emergency contacts, prescription drug information, insurance policies, any backup disks of data or critical information off of your computer, birth certificates, financial information, especially lists of all your the contact information for your credit cards, your banks, your investment accounts with account numbers and all that information so you can get to them quickly after the storm.
Well, just listen to all the things Bruce has enumerated, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of things that you need, and so start on it now. Get prepared in case something like this happens. And back to the point about currency and cash, you know, if you like those gold coin commercials, fine. You want to get a couple gold coins, but even more important than that, have some ready cash. Always, you know, don't leave it laying around. Have it somewhere where you have it secure and hidden, not where somebody would automatically look, because you might not be able to go to the ATM, as Bruce suggests, for days or even weeks. You're just joining us. Bruce McClary is our guest today, Vice President of Public Relations for National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC.org. Quick break. We'll be right back with Bruce.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit PlanStronger.com.
And planning ahead is the point, ladies and gentlemen. And Bruce McClary is joining us today to talk about planning and preparing for what we hope doesn't come. You know, we hope we don't have storms, but they could come and we need to be prepared for them, or fires. We had fires back in the 90s, Bruce, in our area, our neck of the woods, no pun intended. And they were very ugly and they caused major problems. And we have to be prepared for these things. And nobody would have thunk it, right? Nobody would have thought those things would come. I'd like to talk just for a minute, Bruce, if we can, because people say, well, hey, who is this NFCC that you keep having back on the program? And I'm a fan of NFCC because I love what you guys are doing. Give my listeners a quick thumbnail sketch of what NFCC does, Bruce. And, you know, they can reach out. They can go to the website, of course, the NFCC.org. But you've got local affiliates across the country that can help people. Talk a little bit about what you guys do.
Right. David, the NFCC, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, was founded in 1951. It's the nation's largest and longest-serving national nonprofit financial counseling organization. And, of course, our mission is just to make sure that we're coaching people to have financially responsible behavior. We're helping people with budgeting and debt management advice. Our member agencies offer housing counseling. Our member agencies are HUD-approved housing counseling agencies.
Oh, that's good.
And they offer assistance at low or no cost to people for first-time home buyers or for people who are facing foreclosure. And, of course, there's also the credit and budget counseling. And we have 77 member agencies right now with 600 community-based offices nationwide. And, you know, if people need to get help from the NFCC, they can find that help at NFCC.org. And, of course, they can always pick up the phone and call and talk to a certified financial professional at 800-388-2227. That's 800-388-2227. It's a toll-free call. It's a free conversation to have when you call in just to ask some questions. And then further help with your debt management or your budget or your housing needs and even student loan counseling that we're building out right now. Is available at low or no cost if you need further help with those.
Excellent. Good, Bruce. Well, that actually is a perfect segue to the other storm that has been brewing for some time now, and that is student loan debt, student loan default, student loan. It's becoming some, I mean, you know, and of course in the media, we always have to be careful how we take in what we hear, because often it has been politicized, and you have to always consider the source before you start, you know, accepting something that you hear as expert or, you know, really the reality of what's going on. But, you know, I've been monitoring that because I, you know, I'm curious about it. And I think it is a major issue for our country. And student loan debt, the numbers I saw not long ago is it's over $1 trillion now, right?
Right. It's at about $1.2 trillion.
Wow. That's a lot of money. Now, here's my question, and this is just purely this is why I'm trying to learn more about this, Bruce, because I want to be more knowledgeable about it. We all are still learning. The thing that is very remarkable is this has just continued to grow, and I know part of it has been some of the economic challenges our country has faced, but student loan debt, federal student loan outstanding, back in 07, which was not that long ago, was about half a trillion. It's doubled, more than doubled in what is that 7-8 year time period. You know, if I go back to when I was in college, I go way back to, let's see, what was that? That was the late 80s, early 90s. I remember my mom and dad helped. I got scholarships and I also worked when I was in college, and I'm thankfully emerged from college without any loans, no debt, and I was able to start my career. So why has this fundamentally changed in such a profound way? Because I didn't know any kids that were graduating, and I didn't go to some Ivy League school. I went to a state school, but I didn't know anybody that it just wasn't talked about where people were leaving with mountains and mountains of debt like they are now. So what's been the fundamental shift?
Well, I have to say, I mean, I was attending college about the same time you were, and my experience mirrors what yours was. It was that... you know, and I ask myself the same question when I look at this, look at how quickly the debt has increased over a short period of time. And I always ask myself, would I go to school today? Would I go to college today, knowing that I would be faced with an average, this is the average, of about $30,000 in student loan debt just to get an undergraduate degree? And, you know, I'd scratch, that's a head scratcher for me. I don't know if I'd even go if I knew if I'd exit with that kind of debt. But I think the problem that a lot of people have faced in the recent years is the cost of education has been increasing, both at the public school level and, of course, the private institutions. There are a lot of these private colleges, these private for-profit colleges that have entered into the picture more so than there were back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Okay.
So they're very prevalent, and a lot of the students that are going to those colleges are financing quite a bit of their tuition with loans other than scholarships. There's a large portion of what they pay for college is financed by loans, larger than if the students that go to state public colleges and other private colleges, fully accredited colleges. So you've got that in the picture as well. And it's troubling to see the amounts that people are borrowing go up so much. But I think even with that in mind, what people try to do is try to find the scholarships, and they try to find the grants first and try to get a hold of the assistance, the free assistance, before they go borrowing. And then first they go to the federal loans. And then the final option for a lot of people is to turn to those private lenders for the student loans.
Yeah.
And, of course, the parents often turning to those PLUS loans.
Right.
Adding to that. But the amount of debt is staggering. I mean, the number of people that are facing default is even more concerning. A significant portion of the people that owe student loans are approaching default or have already gone into default. And that's where our counseling efforts are directed, to try to help those people navigate that situation and get back into a position where they can repay the debt that they owe.
That's excellent, Bruce. I applaud your efforts there, and NFCC is certainly you know, in the right place to help. And you're not kidding about the impact this is having on students and those emerging from college with the weight of this debt. And I did some quick searches on this to be able to be a little bit more informed, and a lot of good reports from the U.S. Department of Education, Board of Governors, and Federal Reserve. 46% of folks that have graduated and have these student loans out there, 46% had to cut back in other areas to make their payments. Half of them are struggling to pay. And there was another statistic that really surprised me. 40% of loans, according to the U.S. Department of Education, 40% are not being repaid.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a sobering statistic, and there's a lot of work for us to do in the nonprofit sector to try to help those who are struggling.
Well, again, outstanding kudos to you guys for leading the charge in this area. NFCC.org, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce McClary is our guest today, and we're very glad to have him back. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about some of the ways you can better prepare yourself, budgeting, financing, all this stuff. Stay tuned.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialists, and certified annuity specialists. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and individualized attention to each and every one of our clients. Count on Holland Financial for your financial advice, not only for today, but for many years to come. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
All right, welcome back. Bruce McClary on the line. Well, you know him as the Vice President of Public Relations and External Affairs for National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC, and NFCC.org is a website. Every time I hear the word affairs in somebody's title, Bruce, I automatically think it's like internal affairs, some sort of police group or something. So, but you're external, so that's good. Listen, we appreciate your time, and we've got a few minutes. I wanted to hit a few other subjects as we could, and that is, credit cards. Credit cards are always something people need to be thinking about and how they use them, and also how they spend their money on travel. You know, that seems to be what people do is they say, look, I've worked hard. Maybe they haven't put money away for that travel, or maybe they find themselves making travel plans quickly, and they find themselves in a position where they spend too much. Give us some help from what you guys have seen be good strategies, not only to not spend more than you need to for a nice break, because everybody needs a break, but also how to be wise and judicious with our credit cards and use of credit to pay for those things.
Well, I tell you, when considering travel, and I know it's still summer, so a lot of people are hitting the road, maybe getting in some last-minute vacations. It's interesting. We conducted an online survey and asked people, well, how do you intend to pay for your summer vacation? And it turned out that the majority said they won't be taking a vacation, which is probably the most disturbing thing out of all of that.
That's interesting, yeah.
But among those who were taking vacation, a larger portion said they would be paying cash or using a debit card.
Now, that's interesting. They're leaving the credit card at home.
Yeah, they're leaving the credit card at home, and that kind of sparked a bit of an interesting discussion about whether or not that's a good thing to do or whether the credit card is more appropriate when you travel or you go on vacation. And I think it still comes down to the fact that there are problems you encounter when you're using a debit card to try to make rental car reservations and get a hotel. There are roadblocks you could run into. There's also the fact that, you know, if your debit card gets stolen or gets compromised, that's your cash on hand that is compromised. It's not somebody else's money as it is with a line of credit with a bank that you can easily make a quick phone call and not have any liability for that. So I think from a protection standpoint, it's probably better to be traveling with a credit card.
Yeah.
But just make sure that you have the budget in place to be able to quickly pay off that balance as soon as your vacation is over, so you don't incur a lot of the interest and fees that go along with that. And, of course, make sure you're spending within your assigned credit limit so you don't take a hit there either.
Yeah.
But that's the better way to manage travel. Just leave your debit card or your prepaid card at home.
Yeah, you really need to be careful with that. And I think, you know, there's many things we could draw from that statistic and what you saw there, Bruce, is that maybe people are just trying to be more careful. Maybe they've already maxed the card out and there's nothing left to use on the card. Or maybe, they're just trying to be more prudent. But, you know, we spoke about the student debt, total student loans outstanding being over the 1.2 mark. And according to usdebtclock.org, which is a great resource I often refer to, the credit card debt total outstanding for U.S. is over $916 billion.
Yeah, it's nipping at the heels of student loan debt.
It really is. It looks like the student loan debt is rising quicker. I'm watching the two numbers on the screen right now, but neither one are going the right direction.
Right, they aren't. But I will say, in comparison to, say, 5 or 6 years ago, I think consumers on the whole are doing a better job being aware of their credit card balances, taking the steps necessary to try to keep those balances under control and, if possible, pay those off. So I think people are doing a better job. Of course, more needs to be done. But the main thing for people to keep in mind is that it's best to keep that credit utilization rate down, keep your balance very low in respect to your assigned credit limit, and make sure you have the budget in place that will allow you to pay those balances off right away so you're not paying all the interest and fees. And, of course, at the same time, build your savings. Pay yourself first and make sure you have an emergency reserve so you have to don't have to go into the red to bail yourself out.
That's good, Bruce. Good advice. And, you know, I can tell you this is just purely anecdotal. But, you know, having worked with hundreds of people that are got retirement on the brain or they're baby boomers or they're moving into retirement, I can tell you just from what I've seen, there seems to be a strong correlation and between the folks that come in and tell me they pay off their credit cards every month versus the ones that don't, how much money they've accumulated for retirement, how much income they have. It seems to run through the core of how they handle their finances, and not so much how much they've made, but how much they hold on to.
Yeah, and if you're thinking about retirement right now, and you're in your 30s and 40s, and you've got a lot of credit card debt and things that are in the way, start working on a plan to get that out of the way as quickly as possible, because you don't want to arrive at that decision point when you're 60 years old and you're over leveraged with debt, and you've got goals for retirement that are coming on the short horizon. You want to make sure you clear the path and make sure your mortgage is paid off by the time you retire. Mm. Make sure your credit card balances are out of the way. Really important.
Good stuff, Bruce. Well, listen, clear the deck, get some good counseling if you need it. NFCC.org is a website. Bruce McCleary has been our guest, VP of Public Relations over there at National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Bruce, we'll have you back. Great stuff as always. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.